Wisconsin is on a roll!
Former Governor Tommy Thompson pretty excited in winning the Republican U.S. Senate primary on Tuesday, and so was Congressman Paul Ryan in getting the nod as Mitt Romney's vice presidential pick.
My veins run with cheese, bratwurst, and a little spotted cow, Lonnie's, and some Miller.
Those two stories top our Week in Review this week, and we hope you will join in with the issues from the news this week that mattered most to you. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, August 17th. We will also talk about other news from Wisconsin's primary elections this week and the issues that are making the biggest news on the presidential campaign trail. And what else? You tell us, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guests. We are very happy to have with us Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Having a little sip of your Pepsi there.
Diet Pepsi.
And Chris Lotto is with us by telephone. He is a former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and GOP campaign consultant. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Chris.
And Joe, it's good to have you back here on the Week in Review. You had a little bit of a hiatus as you were running for office, and we don't have candidates running for office
as a part of our
Week in Review. And I guess I have... condolences with your loss.
I didn't die.
I know.
You know, Rob Ferret sends me an email Wednesday morning, and he says, yes, I'm a media vulture, but you want to come on Friday? And what can you say?
Well, we're happy. We wanted it because you are. Certainly not only were you running in the primary, I'm sure you were
I'm down, but I'm not out. I lost a close election. It's pretty hard to believe that when you were a former chair of the Democratic Party, when we used to win elections, that the whole apparatus came out down against me. But, you know, there's a reason why they have 38, 39 seats in the Assembly.
Well,
how was that for a shot, Chris?
I like it.
You're not going to debate him on that, are you, Chris?
We're good.
Yeah, Joe ran for state assembly. He is down but not out. Chris Lotto, your candidate in the U.S. Senate race didn't win either. You were supporting Mark Newman, isn't that right?
Yeah, and you know it was the power of Tommy Thompson. I mean, I think a lot of factors just went in his favor. I was shocked. I just saw the numbers this morning about how low the turnout was. I mean, 13.5% for a race that was really, you know, pretty hotly contested, and we had millions of dollars spent, and you had four candidates that I think anybody, who's paying attention could make a good case that they would be a good Republican candidate. But, you know, in the end of the day, Tommy Thompson had the name ID. I think they argued the electability factor pretty well. I think that the last-minute sort of bump he got when folks like Governor Walker and Paul Ryan made favorable remarks about Tommy in big ticket speeches and big opportunities. I think all those things helped to go his way and push him a little bit past Hovde. So yeah, it's unfortunate that Mark didn't win, but on the plus side, I think that we will have a second U.S. senator who's a Republican in Wisconsin come November.
You know, Chris, I actually thought Mark Newman was going to pull this off at the end too.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Definitely the polls were reflecting a lot of momentum in Mark's favor at the end, and he started off, you know, very low, but that was before he had done any advertising, and things really, really picked up there at the end for Mark. But I think there were so many undecideds in this race. That was one of the things that I'm sure Joe was struck by. I was certainly struck by. I mean, you had polls showing 20-25% of folks who were going to vote had no idea who they were going to vote for, and if you troll the blogs and chat rooms like I sometimes do, you know, being a political junkie, you read that people were literally making up their minds, as they were standing in the poll booth. And I think that happened in a lot of cases. And I think at the end of the day, folks just came home to Tommy Thompson. It's a name they know. It's a name they feel that they trust. It's a name that they like. And that's where they ended up going.
Well, and last-minute decisions, Joy, in a primary election are kind of unusual. And just so you know, Chris, the turnout on the Democratic side was even worse.
Yeah, it was dismal all the way around. I mean, I think we're seeing the fallout from... from the recalls this year. I think people are just fatigued. Moving it back to August, I mean, when we're still, you know, thinking about what we're going to try and do on our bucket list before Labor Day, it's it's hard to get people interested. It was hard to get people fired up.
And were you surprised, Chris, that the reason Tommy won, in my opinion, is he won the Democratic counties?
Well, yeah. And I think we knew for a while that, you know, those were some areas that he was going to do particularly well in. He has some residual conservative Democrat support. He has some independent support.
It cost me votes, I could tell you that.
Well, I mean, he obviously kind of remade himself for this race and felt that he had to go further to the right than I think he normally would have if he didn't have three challengers that were kind of running to his right. But I think that he still has that residual support and that residual goodwill out there. And that would certainly worked in his favor. I mean, the guy is really the most popular Wisconsin politician that we've seen in, you know, who knows how long. I mean, everybody still knows. You call him by his first name, it's Tommy. So yeah. That's hard to overcome.
And now we have Tommy versus Tammy. And Joe Winicky, what's that going to be like?
It sounds like a 1960s beach movie, you know, with the
next kind of
Tammy and Tommy. Oh, my goodness. I think it's going to be a close election. The state is incredible, more than any other state in the country, I believe. And I bet Chris would agree. It's more polarized than anywhere. The state is, I think, still a barely light shade of blue, but not heavy enough to guarantee a Democratic win in a presidential. They're going to be out there defining. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of undecideds in this general like there were in the primary.
And you think, Chris Lotto, that Tommy has the edge?
Yeah, I do. Not to get hyper-partisan 5 minutes in, but I think, again, for everything that I listed before, I think Tommy Thompson has a real advantage here. I do think that that Tammy Baldwin has a record that leans left, and I think that the mainstream voters in Wisconsin are going to look at him, and again, independents, some conservative Democrats are gonna like what they see and not feel so bad about voting for, maybe not Democrats, but certainly independents, are gonna be ready to check off Tommy Thompson's name come November.
I feel very confident, Chris, that
he's gonna pull this off.
I'm not so sure of that. And the reason is that Tommy has a record. 14 years as governor, 20 years or so in the assembly. Tommy, when he was in as governor, was more of the last of the big government Republicans. He pushed all kinds of programs and spending. Spending went up almost twice as much under Tommy Thompson's administration as it did under Jim Doyle's. Now, when he ran for the U.S. Senate, Tommy became Tommy the right winger.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a ton. I mean, you mentioned it a minute ago. There's going to be a ton of ability of flip-flopping where Tommy said this and Tommy said that. And he's got to get off the push-up thing.
Well, how about,
we admit, okay, he's 71 and he's vibrant. Okay.
Well, how about the tax thing? He was asked again this week if he was going to release any more tax information, and he said no. Even when pressed further, said, "Why should I?" And I think he even said, "You know, what part of no don't you understand?" So Tommy does not want to release. Tammy Baldwin released, I think, 10 years worth of,
sure,
of taxes. Does he have to? Does Tommy have to do that, Joe?
He's going to have to release something. I mean, my goodness, this notion that all of a sudden, just because you're in business, you don't have to release your taxes, but if you were actually an elected official, you must. And Tommy did that. He said he always released them when he was a candidate as governor. Hey, you're a candidate for the Senate, Tommy. What's the difference? And you know, people have a right to know. And Harry Reid has every right, every time Mitt Romney, for example, won't release his taxes, to say, as far as I know, he didn't pay any, because they won't release it. And then for Mitt Romney, for example, yesterday, to say, well, I believe I paid around 13% every year. Prove it.
Chris?
Well, I think, first of all, when I read the story about, how many times do I have to tell you no, I hearken back to my days as a reporter when you'd be in a news conference and you'd ask Tommy Thompson, Governor Thompson, a question that he didn't like, and he'd fix you with that stare, and you'd kind of stare down at your shoes, and the room would get real quiet and uncomfortable. And I'm like, ooh, boy.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember it too, Chris.
You know, like flashes of the old Tommy, you know, he's back. Truly.
But don't you think they should at least release some of their tax returns?
I think what's happening is, I think Democrats have found an issue that they can seize on. They know that Tommy's not going to release those records, so they're going to hop right on that point. I think he's doing what is required of him to do by the rules of running for Senate and ethics and everything else. I think he's doing what he has to do, and he is making a choice. He's been in the private sector. You know, we saw it come out during the primary election that there are some things that, you know, he made money off of. He's obviously done not lobbying, and they were very clear that he is not a registered lobbyist. But, you know, some groups that he was aligned with that, you know, certain segments of the population were what, you know, he collected money from this. You know,
Chris, is it fair game?
Yeah, it is. But I think that, frankly, Democrats are going to have to work with what is required of him to put out, and I don't think he's going to have to do any more, and I don't think he does have to put out anymore.
No,
I wouldn't feel any particular pressure to do that.
Don't be shocked when you see the political ads reminding people that he didn't, you know, he was broke, and he made a few shekels, but not as many as you guys thought he did and stuff. That's going to become an issue, and he would be better off to address it now and let it get out of the way before you get to late October.
Well, it's obviously a calculated risk, and I think, you know, sure, he's going to take heat from Democrats for it, but I think he believes, and I think he's right, that he can get past that.
Let's take a call from Bill in Orfordville. Bill, did you vote for Tommy Thompson?
Well, I'm a conservative Democrat, so I couldn't do that. But, you know, I'm going to vote for Tommy in the general election. I live in Tammy's districts, and I don't ever see her down here. Tommy is 7 years old. I'm 7 years old. He's been the Secretary of Health and Welfare. I think the man will put my interests out there where they need to be, better than the liberal out of Madison.
Well, does that worry you, Joe?
No. Well, I think that as the election goes on, and as this election nationalizes, which I think it's going to very quickly, people who are 70 years old are going to have to look at, is Tommy siding with Paul Ryan? And is Tommy siding with Mitt Romney? And they want to privatize and voucherize Medicare. Paul Ryan introduced a plan to mostly privatize Social Security. Medicaid is in the hunt. And people who are older, I mean, all I can say to the caller is, do you really want to have to every year get a voucher for X amount of money and have to shop for health care?
Yeah, and you know, of course, that he's 70, so that's not going to happen. But
it will for his kids or anybody else. And this notion that, oh, well, if you're over 55, we'll let you go is such a cop-out.
What do you mean it's a cop-out?
Well, they let you go there, and then they nail everybody underneath. You treat everybody fairly, one or the other. And what they're doing is they're trying to say, well, we can get away with this because we won't alienate senior citizens because it won't directly affect them. But, you know, seniors have kids.
Yeah, so anybody under 55 gets the voucher.
I'm 55. I guess I made it, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm not yet. So,
kid.
Any comment on that, Chris?
My only comment is what did you put in Joe's Pepsi this morning?
And believe it or not, Joy, does that say caffeine-free?
It does say caffeine-free. It does. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll let everybody take a breath as we remind listeners, this is the Week in Review. It's a post-primary election Week in Review. We'll talk more about some other primary election results, but we will also talk about Paul Ryan joining the race for the White House, and we'll welcome your topics for our guests, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Today, we have with us Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and Chris Lotto, former communications director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin and GOP campaign consultant. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you stay with us. Coming up this afternoon after 4 o'clock, it's Your Views on the News during Ad Issue with Ben Maron. So another opportunity for you to call in and talk about your thoughts about the week's biggest news stories. That's Your Views on the News after 4 this afternoon. This is our regular Friday Week in Review, talking today with Joe Winicky and Chris Lotto, and you at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.com. We'll talk about Paul Ryan getting picked as Mitt Romney's VP choice in just a few minutes, but let's wrap up some of the other primary election results from this week. Mark Pocan defeats Kelda Royce in the 2nd Congressional District, two other Democrats also on the ballot, wins quite handily. Joe, why do you think that is?
He ran a good campaign. He raised the money. I thought his last two television ads were particularly effective. And I think Kelda, in her case, it wasn't so much what she said in a few of her ads, but the the Pocan campaign and their allies were able to quickly make it seem like it was even nastier than it was, and she got labeled as the negative campaigner in a four-way primary, which is always dangerous.
Yeah. So Pocan is going to be Congressman Pocan after
for a long time.
Really? Yeah. Okay. You have any doubt of that, Chris Lotto?
No. In fact, I've taken my notes. I said you might as well start calling him Congressman Pocan right now. I mean, he ran a good campaign. I've met him. I've talked with him before. He's a likable guy. He mm-hmm. really is. And I think that he will represent the interests of that particular district very effectively. I think he's a perfect fit.
Well, long time Congressman Tom Petri faced a, maybe not very strong, but did face a Tea Party challenge. Lauren Stevens, I believe her name was, saying that he was too moderate, saying he was a rhino, a Republican in name only. Petri certainly won that race, but what do you make of that challenge?
Interesting, but I mean, I think, you know, Tom Petri has been in office there for more than three decades now. He was my congressman until redistricting. It's interesting that we're seeing, and we saw this in several cases this year, that we saw Tea Party challenges in Wisconsin that didn't close the deal, and the Petri race was one of them. If you look down to the legislative level, Dean Coffert, in the assembly was another one, and there were other races that that we could discuss as well.
Luther Olson, too?
Yeah.
Luther Olson was another one, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you look at the U.S. Senate race where, you know, either Eric Hovde or Mark Newman were called the Tea Party candidates, and they couldn't close the deal statewide. So, it's interesting. And, of course, you know, Tom Petri enjoys the power of incumbency again, you know, 3.5 decades in office, and he was able to beat back that challenge, and that's not a particularly big surprise, I don't think. Mm-hmm.
Tim Petri is a good guy, and a couple of odd things happened to this election, and I want to congratulate Dean Coffert, too. I've always thought Dean was also a good guy, and they basically some people wanted to destroy him because he showed a little independence on a couple of votes. Keep it up, Dean, the people in your district support you on it. But an odd thing did happen. At the Republican side, and I bet Chris would agree with that, on the Republican side, the establishment won everywhere. On the Democratic side, especially in Milwaukee, that did not happen. There were several incumbent Democrats who went down in flames.
And they went down because they were too conservative?
Well, you know, in an increasingly strident political situation, somebody who's voting pro-life on everything and voting with Walker on everything and stuff isn't going to last in Milwaukee.
Yes, Representative Peggy Krusick lost to Daniel Reamer, a law student, and Representative Jason Fields lost to community organizer Mandela Barnes.
But, Joy, they didn't just lose. They got crushed.
Yeah,
and this is
because the incumbents were anti-choice?
Well, and other issues. And there was a little redistricting involved in the Krusick race, but Peggy Krusick was an door animal. I mean, everybody assumed that she would have a chance. And I know there's a lot of people in the Democratic caucus, especially with Peggy, that will be very happy that Dan Reamer won. And you know, that's a good name. That's David Reamer's son.
Yeah, what's your take on those Milwaukee races, Chris?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It feels like in those races in particular, where again you saw some real longtime incumbents lose, and the issues, you know, and they talk about the interest groups that were driving this, and the issues were stances on abortion, and I think school choice or voucher schools was another issue, but. You know, all the talk has focused till now on the Tea Party and the power of the Tea Party and how they're pushing Republicans to extremes. And in Wisconsin, as Joe pointed out, we didn't really see that, certainly not this year. But what we're seeing now is Democrats, in some cases, being pushed to the extreme. So it's kind of interesting that, you know, that we don't have a label for this kind of movement in Wisconsin. You know, we don't have the equivalent of a Democratic Tea Party, but it's interesting that you're seeing that movement.
Lotto, you're pretty good at this. You should think one up quick.
By the end of the show, I'll have a list for you, Joe.
By the way, I agree wholeheartedly with what Chris just said, and this polarization is dangerous for our society.
Well, is there anything, looking ahead to the general election, in terms of, control of the state legislature, Joe, is anything going to change, you think?
The Senate's going to be closely fought. The Assembly, Democrats should gain, if for no other reason, they just lost so many seats they normally should have had in 2010. But I'm going to give a 10-second lecture, if I can, to Democrats. You better start standing for real issues. You better start admitting, if you're a Democrat, you're for collective bargaining, that you want to start fighting for the middle class on school funding, that you want to get rid of that one-week waiting period on unemployment, that you will defend the rights of gays and lesbians to have equal rights in this state. And the problem I've had with the Democrats for several years, they don't stand for anything.
Well, what about for Congress? Are there going to be any districts that are going to be really, really close? Some say that Sean Duffy's might be close, Chris Lotto.
Well, I know, and Democrats want folks to believe that. I don't necessarily know that that's true. I think that we're talking about two freshman Republicans in the northern half of the state, in Reid Ribble and Sean Duffy. And obviously vulnerable because they are freshmen, but I don't see that they can build enough of a case up there against Ribble or Duffy to knock him off. So I feel pretty good that there's not going to be a lot of change on the congressional map come November.
Well, we will be talking more about some of these primary results and the races for November in our state capitol report coming up on Monday between 7 and 8 o'clock.
And I think Wall and Kreitlow both can win.
Oh, all right, there we go. Let's talk about, I guess the biggest story of the week. On Saturday, Mitt Romney named Paul Ryan as his vice presidential running mate. Chris Lotto, what did you think of that?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, just taking off the partisan hats for a minute, I think it's cool news indeed that we have a Wisconsinite who's going to be on the presidential ticket. I think that's just a great thing for our state, and it's very exciting. It means we're going to be in the spotlight. It means that, frankly, we're going to be a contested state in a way that I don't know that we would have been before that pick was made. I just think it's, first of all, just if you're a political observer of any stripe, I think you got to go, well, this is just cool news, and it's going to be fun to watch, and it's exciting. I think, you know, we've talked about this on the show before. About potential picks, and Ryan almost always came up for me. I think he was always more on my dream list than anything else. I didn't know that that there was a very likely shot that he would be picked. I thought they might go in another direction, whether they wanted to appeal, to the Hispanic vote with a choice like Rubio or something, you know, a little different. So it's great that they picked Paul Ryan. I think Paul Ryan is an inspired choice. I think he's a smart guy. I think in his position in the House, and managing budgets and his bold reform proposals, he's been on the national stage for a while, so I think in that sense he's been battle tested and he's a good choice. I think that they are signaling with the choice of Paul Ryan that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan want this race to be about policy and about substance. And you can say I disagree with the policy, I disagree with the substance, but they want to talk about real issues here. They want to talk about Medicare, these third rail issues that nobody ever seems to want to touch. They want to deal with these things head on. They want to talk about jobs. They want to talk about fixing the economy and getting it out of the doldrums that it's been in, to be fair, since before George W. Bush left office, but certainly during Obama's entire regime. They want to talk about Obamacare and what that's going to do to that nation if it survives in its present form. They want to have these discussions. So I think that by choosing Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney is doubling down on this idea that we want to talk about the things that matter to folks and how we need to get this country back on track before our fiscal mess becomes truly unmanageable and we can't dig out.
And Joe, your reaction, and then we have many callers who have points too.
Look, I like Paul Ryan. I've known him for years. He's treated me decently. Heck, when the Democrats wouldn't give me access to the voter file, a voter file that I created, that Paul Ryan, I think it might have been tongue-in-cheek, but I doubt it. We were at a wake, and he was standing in line just like everybody else, and I told him that. And he said, well, I could give you mine. You just got to use it in reverse because my ones are your your fives and my fives are your ones. I mean, the point is he's a decent enough guy. But I agree with almost everything Chris Lotto just said, that this nationalizes this election, and Democrats are just as jubilant about the Paul Ryan choice as Republicans, because we want to debate Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid and Obamacare, if you want to call it, and all the other issues that are out there. And that's why I think when we look at congressional races or the U.S. Senate race or anything else, in Wisconsin, how Romney does or how Obama does is going to have a much bigger impact down ticket than it normally would, because people are going to be very polarized in this election.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Joe Winicky and Chris Lotto during this edition of The Week in Review. If you have something that you'd like to bring up, a topic from the news this week, or if you want to react to Paul Ryan as the VP pick, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dave in Wanakee is with us. Hello, Dave.
Yes, hello. I have a rather different opinion of Paul Ryan. I think that something Ryan has done speaks to what's wrong with politics in general, and more specifically to the Republican Party and himself especially. When the stimulus package came out, of course, Ryan railed against it, as any conservative would. After it was passed, he said he wouldn't take any money. He went on a radio program, or no, a television program, and said he was asked about whether he accepted any money. And he said, no, I'm not going to vote against something then write letters to the government to send us money. I didn't request any stimulus money. Now it's turned out he wrote five letters requesting millions of dollars of stimulus and received it, and then after he received it, said he never accepted any stimulus money and railed against it.
Yep.
And I think that Paul Ryan is a hypocrite and he's a liar.
Well, Chris Lotto, does he have some splaining to do?
Well, you know, it's funny because this was an issue that was dealt with during the U.S. Senate race as well, where you have, you know, Eric Hovde, Mark Newman to a certain extent as well, saying the same things, that, you know, stimulus was not a wise deal, it was a bad deal, and then you're able to dig up, well, you got this subsidy, you got this, that, and the other. And there was a whole discussion about whether, you know, just because you don't believe something should exist, does that not mean you shouldn't, you know, use it while it's available to you, yet at the same time, once you're in office, you're gonna take it out? I mean, I think it's a fair question. I think it's a fair debate point. I think it's a fair thing to say to Paul Ryan, well, you know, you've lost my support because you're hypocritical on this issue. I think that Paul Ryan will be able to effectively counter this and explain this away. But I think, you know, it's one of those things that can be put on the table and it's legitimate, because stimulus is going to be an issue in this campaign, and folks are going to be able to look at the record and say, well, I believe that, you know, you said one thing and did another, and that's going to be an issue for me. And I think that's fair. But I think that Paul Ryan will be able to effectively, you know, explain what the real situation is and deal with it accordingly.
Ryan and stimulus, Joe?
Well, in the case of this one, where Paul Ryan gets in trouble is he publicly stated, as the caller noted, that he would never do this, and then he did it anyway. Oh, and there's plenty more of that. I mean, I think there's a lot of questions that are going to be raised about Dennis Troha, who was convicted and gave Paul Ryan thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Paul Ryan, one of the first things he did this week was he went to Vegas to see Sheldon Adelson, casino mogul. That's not the squeaky clean image that I've seen Paul Ryan create over the years. But, you know, getting away from those, what I would view as somewhat smaller issues, I think Paul Ryan truly believes in what he says about Medicare and Social Security and privatization. And he's eclipsing Mitt Romney. How many flip-flops has Romney had to do on this in a week?
How has Ryan flip-flopped on? Oh, you mean because they're
Romney's
plans,
been, yeah. I mean, Romney now, I mean, and we had Paul Ryan on, I think it was on Fox the other night, having to say that he really didn't support the stuff that he really supported in the House budget bill.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, because Mitt Romney needs someday to show a spine.
So does Mitt Romney agree with Paul Ryan's budget plans and Medicare plans, Chris Lotto?
Well, now, that's funny, because as I was reading all of this and the conflicts about, well, who stands for what and you know, what parts of which plans get absorbed and everything else, I believe that Paul Ryan understands that Mitt Romney is top of the ticket, and that what he says goes. Now, that said, I honestly feel that part of what we're seeing now is the sort of first week or so jitters of two campaigns trying to work out how they're going to move forward with this, and I don't frankly think they've fully worked it out yet. I think we're seeing the rough patch that comes early in a campaign where you try and figure out, well, gee, you stood for this, I stood for that, what are we going to do? And they kind of go out and they don't have their story straight yet. I honestly think that's what it is. I think there's clearly, obviously going to be consensus on where they want to go and how they want to take things forward for America. So I think this is just that kind of rough patch where I think that Romney has indicated that, you know, he believes in a lot of what Paul Ryan has done. And Paul Ryan, frankly, is going to have to swallow hard and say, look, you know, Mitt Romney's the boss. I'm down with what he supports.
I just want to know what Mitt Romney does support, Chris. Well, that's the problem. I have no idea what his position is on Medicare, but I know what Paul Ryan's is.
I'll be honest. Mitt Romney was never my first choice for this race. There were others that, while I was never particularly dazzled by the crop this year, he was not my first choice. Obviously, Republicans are going to fall behind Mitt Romney. I think that Paul Ryan obviously elevates this ticket in a substantial way. I think Mitt Romney took a very careful look at what he needed in this race to kind of complete the picture for the voters and settled on, not settled on, I shouldn't say settled on, made a good choice. He picked Paul Ryan. And I think that, we're going to have to see how these guys work this out. I think that's what we're seeing right now, is that they're going to have to basically have their team sit down, come together and say, okay, where are we going forward here? And they're obviously work this out.
Let me take a call from Art in Milwaukee next. Hello, Art.
Hi. Well, there's been a lot of emphasis on Ryan wanting to take money from Medicare and Social Security and reform taxes so that he shifts the burden from the very rich to the middle class, et cetera, but almost nothing on his stance on trying to massively move money to the military budget, which Romney actually seems to agree with as well. There was a vote. Ryan was the only one of the Republicans in the House from Wisconsin who voted that a moderate increase in the military budget was not enough. It had to be sharper, and he even accused the heads of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of lying when they said they could live with a moderate increase in the military budget, said it had to be sharper. So he wants to shift all that money from domestic needs into an sharply increased military budget, and people should be aware of that.
Joe, do you have a thought on that?
Well, I think he's right. Mm-hmm. People often talk about Social Security, Medicare as the third rail of politics, and it certainly is with Democrats, but protecting the military is the third rail of Republican politics, and Paul Ryan's gone all in. When he wanted to slash Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and all those different programs and, stupid Pell Grants and all these different things, he exempted one big group, the military.
Yeah. Chris Lotto?
Well, look, Paul Ryan's been in Congress for a long time. He has a long record that that the Obama team is going to pick through, and they're going to look for inconsistencies. They're going to look for, well, gee, Mitt Romney supports that, Paul Ryan supports that. Where do you guys stand now? We're going to see a lot of this in the coming weeks, and that's not surprising because Paul Ryan, as a congressman, as a public servant, has a very long voting record that people are going to be able to comb through. And I think that when you make a vice presidential pick, you look at all that stuff, and presumably they're going to be prepared to deal with all of the issues that are going to get raised, because this is going to be far from the last one.
And Chris, I just quick touch on, I respect Paul Ryan because I actually think he believes this stuff. I just don't agree with any of it. He's one of the few politicians that has got the guts to go out with risky proposals, but I think they're very risky.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear you say that, Joe. I mean, because there are some out there. I mean, Mark Pocan is a great example of somebody who seems like a personable, nice guy in my limited experience with him, and that you could say I like him. I just don't agree with anything he stands for. I mean, Russ Feingold would be another one. I think.
Why
Russ
can't
Feingold
we do
is,
more of that, Chris?
I can't disagree with you. I mean, I think that Russ Feingold, again, is another one who's always been a real smart, impressive guy, obviously, but I just don't agree with him. So, I mean, yeah, it would be nice to see more of that, absolutely.
Let me jump in with one more issue before we take our break. And before our Week in Review quiz. White House Secretary Jay Carney is saying that Vice President Joe Biden will stay on the ticket for the November elections. Carney says Republicans are focusing on Biden's recent gaffes in an attempt to distract from policy issues. Joe Biden made a number of gaffes just this week, and some suggested he ought to be replaced on the ticket with Hillary Clinton. So, Joe, are you glad Biden's staying on?
Absolutely. And, you know, if we're going to base things on some people being Ann Coulter and others on Fox News, well, that, I mean, I like Biden a lot. Yeah, he occasionally shoots from the lip, and so do I. And, you know, so what? I mean, he didn't mean what I mean, I know what he meant to say, and it didn't come out right. So what? You know, look at Mitt Romney. How many things has he said goofy?
Yeah, so any comment on the gaffes and whether he should be knocked off the ticket, Chris Lotto?
Well, every 4 years we go through this discussion of, you know, the vice president, you know, he's dragging down the ticket, and we got to get rid of him, and, you know, and it doesn't happen time and time again. I think I can't wait to see Joe Biden debate Paul Ryan. I think that's going to be a good one. But
I think it's going to be a great debate. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and Democrats know this too, and Joe knows this. I mean, you go into it knowing that Joe Biden is kind of a walking gaffe machine, and he says this, and it was a wrong-headed thing to say. It was in bad taste. You know, the president just shrugs and basically says, well, that's just Joe being Joe, and that's that. I mean, I do think that if you're being honest with yourself, you look at this and say, you know, if Paul Ryan had made this exact same remark, how would Paul Ryan have been treated? I mean, I honestly think it could have been like a Dan Quayle how to spell potato moment for Paul Ryan. But I think, you know, Joe Biden, well, you know, that's just Joe being Joe, and we're all going to move on, and you guys are making too much out of nothing. And I think there is some bias going on here. But, you know, keep him on the ticket. I think he's Republicans' best friend in a lot of ways.
let me take our break, and we will be back talking with Chris Lotto, former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and GOP campaign consultant, and Joe Winicky, former state senator and former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. This is our post-primary election edition of the Week in Review, and we'll continue right after this. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Joe Winicky and Chris Lotto, and it's time for our Week in Review quiz. This week, Congressman Paul Ryan was in the news after GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney announced him as his running mate. One of the bits of news about Representative Ryan is that he follows a strict exercise regimen and even leads fitness classes for other congressional staffers. So today's Week in Review quiz question, what is the name of the class he leads? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're looking for the name of the fitness class that is led by U.S. Representative Paul Ryan. And the winner will be chosen randomly from all of the correct answers, and the winner will receive one of the books that we featured on the program recently. So good luck. We will announce the answer and the winner at the end of the program. All right, let's talk about some other news this week. This is brand new this morning. Two more U.S. service members are dead. Two NATO service members have been wounded in separate incidents involving attacks by Afghans that they are helping to train. In western Afghanistan, a newly recruited Afghan village police officer opened fire on his American allies with a gun that he got as a part of his inauguration ceremony. This is just the very latest. There have been a number of these killings in Afghanistan in the last 2 weeks. Some are wondering whether we need to be pulling out sooner or doubling down, given what's happening in Afghanistan. Joe Winicky, what do you say?
Leaving today wouldn't be too soon for me.
Yeah? Why?
I'm just so tired of this. I mean, well, I don't know what the strategic value of Afghanistan is, and although we put our placemat in there and place marker in there, but I mean, when the people you're working with are the ones shooting you, And, you know, and we're supposed to be in there to keep Pakistan stable, but Pakistan isn't stable. Maybe we should go become better friends with India.
Yeah. So the Taliban apparently has infiltrated the Afghan police force. So should we just get the heck out, Chris?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I have the answer that's right for this. I mean, we're trying to get out of there, and we're kind of stuck in this sort of, you know, twilight zone where we're trying to train them before we leave. And in a couple of cases, in a few cases now, and the number is growing, we're seeing that they don't want our help, and taking extreme measures to make that point. So, you know, it's unfortunate. I think the Obama administration has to look at this and take whatever measures are necessary to make sure that this, doesn't continue. And does that mean, you know, pulling out earlier? Does that mean, you know, additional security measures? I don't know what the answer is, but it's obviously going to be cause for a lot of reflection and analysis by the Obama team, as it should.
Let me also follow up on the pick of Paul Ryan. Is Paul Ryan a Chris Lotto? Does he have enough foreign policy experience? Can he, you know, step in should something happen to the president?
Yes. I know they're trying to make an issue out of this. I read, I think there was a column in the New Yorker that made some really particularly absurd points about whether Paul Ryan was prepared to be president. And I think back to, you know, a lot of these points that were being made, you could have 4 years ago have substituted Barack Obama's name for Paul Ryan and said some of the exact same things. You know, where was Barack Obama's foreign policy experience? So, yes, he's been in the House now for, I think, going on 14 years. He obviously has the experience on both domestic and international issues that he will be a very able president should that necessity arise.
Mm-hmm. Joe?
Well, Paul Ryan has more foreign policy experience than Mitt Romney. I mean, just look what happened when Romney came over the start of the Olympics, and he not only he ticked off the Queen, he picked off the Mayor of London, he ticked off the Prime Minister. That was just beautiful.
Let's switch subjects. Back here in the state of Wisconsin, a report just out this morning, two job reports. One says the state lost 6,000 private sector jobs in July, increasing the unemployment rate from 7.3%. So it's now 7.3%. It used to be 7%. The other job report shows that Wisconsin added 37,500 jobs from March of last year to March of this year. But when you factor in the 9,000 government job losses, it's a net gain of about 28,000. Too many numbers, Chris, but what about the 250,000 jobs that Governor Walker promised during the campaign?
Well, and I've said this time and time again that, you know, Scott Walker set a goal that was certainly ambitious. He set it during, you know, the campaign. I fully expect that certainly Democrats and I think all voters should hold his feet to the fire on this, and he should be held accountable for that number. And if the number is not reached, it will be up to Scott Walker, and he knows this, to justify why that goal wasn't hit. He will have to explain that to the voters, and I think that's a very legitimate issue. I mean, we're seeing nationally and, of course, at the state level that our economy remains in the doldrums and we're having a hard time getting it out. I think that's why we do need a change, of course, and we do need a Romney-Ryan ticket to be elected in November to begin implementing the kind of things that are going to, you know, put more money in hardworking, you know, middle-class folks' pockets, lowering taxes and getting our budget balanced and getting things back on track and getting businesses moving and hiring again. I do think it's time for that change, of course. But yeah, it's, you know, Scott Walker set the goal. He walked into this eyes wide open. And if the goal is not reached for whatever reason, he's going to have to explain that.
Joe? Mm-hmm.
Scott Walker will just blame Marty Beal and the public employee unions when it doesn't happen. That's been his modus operandi. It's always somebody else's fault. If there were 28,000 jobs created between March and last March, and I'm really getting tired of DWD's manipulation of the numbers, Department of Workforce Development, that's pretty pathetic. But then if you add the fact that there were 19,000 jobs lost in June and July, I can't remember what April and May were, but I know they weren't very good, he's careening around about a 10,000 job growth creation in a year and a half of being in office, which will put him at approximately meeting 10% of his goal in 4 years. If he does that, you're a one-termer, Governor.
Well, last year, for the first time ever, the state budgeted more taxpayer dollars for prisons and correctional facilities than for the UW system, a story in the news this morning. $2.1 billion is currently set for the state's public universities, $2.25 billion going to the Corrections Department. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Analysis says this trend has been going on for years, and it is not the fault of one particular budget or one party decision. Your thoughts, Joe, on our priorities with the corrections getting more money than education?
I can't even blame Walker on this one much. I mean, this has been going on for 30 years, back when Louise Tesmer was in the Assembly and we passed determinant sentencing, and then you got to remember three strikes and you're out. For you're in jail forever, you know, because you got convicted on a marijuana thing, you got convicted on a cocaine thing, and you got a Dewey. You know, this is crazy. We're just locking up people at $40,000 plus a year. Minnesota spends half of what we do, and it's this big sucking machine. It just takes all the air out of state government revenues. And what do we get for it? A bunch of guys sitting in a jail by themselves.
Chris?
Yeah, I defer to Joe's institutional knowledge and experience on this, but I do think it's important to point out that, you know, like this and so many other issues in Wisconsin government, it's really not just one party or one person that you can point to and say it's all his fault. This is something that's been going on for quite a while.
But we never do anything about it, Chris. That's the do-nothing stuff of these big, giant issues is what kills me. The issues that get adopted are the, you know, they pull at the heartstrings, their social issues or whatever, and nobody rolls up their sleeves on these big ticket issues. Our transportation fund's the same way. It's about to go bankrupt. Our school aid formula is sick. But nobody rolls up their sleeves and says, let's tackle these big issues.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've been there. Why do you think that is, Joe?
Because they all want to get reelected, and there's hot buttons in these issues.
Mm-hmm.
For $49,000 a year in the legislature, why don't these guys grow up?
Well, we'll ponder that as we ask why 90 million Americans say they are not planning on voting in November. Why do you think that is, Chris?
Well, I mean, it's a stunning number, right? I mean, I think that's amazing. I think to a certain degree, I think, you know, this is obviously the enthusiasm gap that Obama has to overcome this year. You know, the idea that, and it's kind of laid out in the write-up about the poll that, you know, his supporters are too busy or otherwise don't feel the need to head to the polls, you know, to take the 15 minutes or however long it takes to vote is stunning to me. You know, I think that a lot of folks are, you know, Obama supporters are taking stock 4 years after he was elected. I think they're feeling let down. I think that explains the more mercenary tone the Obama campaign is taking this time around. They just want to grind out a win and be done with it. It's upsetting that tens of millions of people are going to pass on voting. I mean, part of me wonders how much this reflects the national mood right now. The economy maybe, you know, hasn't truly bounced back yet. Folks are still looking for work, too many folks. Businesses are struggling to get fully back up and running. And I wonder if people are feeling this sort of sense of, I hate to say it, hopelessness, that voting doesn't really matter because they don't feel like anything ever really changes one way or the other, whether you know, elect one party or the other. But, you know, I think if you're paying attention, you know that voting does matter. These things do matter, and that, you know, your choice in November, changes will happen as a result of that, and that your vote can and will make a difference. I mean, you know, hopefully we see a reversal in that trend, but I can't help but think that it reflects national mood.
Briefly, Joe, since we're running short on time.
You know, if 90 million people don't vote, at least don't let any of those people go into some bar or some place or grocery store or something and tell me their complaints about government.
Time now to announce the winner of the Week in Review quiz. Mike in Stoughton, congratulations. Mike in Stoughton correctly answered that Congressman Paul Ryan leads a P90X class. That is the fitness regime or regimen that Paul Ryan follows. He is a former personal trainer. He leads his fellow Hill staffers in daily morning sessions of the popular 90-day body sculpting program called P90X. He says he's been following this routine for about a year and a half. He says he keeps his body fat at between 6% and 8%. He says he's kind of a skinny guy at 6'2" and 163 pounds. And he swears by P90X. Do you do P90X, Joe?
I thought it was a rocket ship that one of those cartoon characters used.
All right, P90X, Chris?
You know what? I have tried it. I did it for a couple of weeks and gave up and just went back to my Doritos.
It looks brutal. Too hard.
Don't become a geek on me, Lotto. Yeah.
thanks to both of you. I hope to talk to you soon. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
Joe Winicky and Chris Lotto. Thanks to you for listening. Have a good weekend. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.